Good evening, everyone. It's Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. The Pasbrook City Council will reconvene from closed session. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance led by Steve Gregory.
Please follow me. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our invocation will be by Pastor Gabe.
We remain standing. Father God, what an honor it is to stand in this place, Lord God, with the great people that you've trusted to manage this city. I pray, God, that you would impart them wisdom and understanding, and they would hear the voice of the people. God, I pray, God, that they realize, Lord God, that all the government is upon your shoulders, and we just get a chance to serve. God, I pray, God, over every man, every woman on the council, Lord God, if they don't know you, that they would come to know you. And if they have known you and things have just gotten rough, I just pray that the love of God would draw them back. But we have a city to live in. We got a city to bless. And I just pray, God, that this place, Lord God, will be a great time, that we stand upon the promises of God and declare that the Spirit of God is over this place. Thank you, Lord God, for our city, and thank you for America. God, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Now, Madam Clerk, will you call a roll call, please?
Councilmember Bausch?
Here.
Councilmember Beal?
Here.
Councilmember Gregory?
Here.
Let the record show that Councilmember Strong is absent this evening. Mayor Hammond?
Here. Well, go ahead and introduce staff introductions, starting on my right, and any other commission members or city assemblies that you serve for the city can also be recognized. Melissa.
Melissa Martin, city clerk, joined by Mary Sponholz, deputy city clerk, and Karen Jackson, IT technician.
Warren Frace, community development director.
Christopher Lucko, utilities director.
Dita Esperanza, capital projects engineer.
Commissioner there, Stair.
Ryan Cornell, Administrative Services Director.
Elizabeth Hull, City Attorney.
Okay, thank you. We'll have a report out from closed session. We'll have legal counsel Elizabeth Hull tell us what we talked about.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Earlier today, the council went into closed session on one item. It was public employee labor negotiations pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. City negotiators were Mr. Hewitt, City Manager, Ryan Cornell, Administrative Services Director, and Shay Johnson, Special Counsel from Liebert Cassidy Whitmore. The employee organizations were International Association of Firefighters, Paso Robles Police Officers Association, SEIU, unrepresented part-time employees, and represented management employees, and there was no reportable action.
Very good. Thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, I have two presentations, and if I could have Board Member Melanie Anderson join with me up front.
You can hold that for me. That's your proclamation.
Today we have Domestic Violence Awareness Month, October 2025.
Whereas Domestic Violence Awareness Month calls attention to the fact that intimate partner violence is widespread and impacts every person in Paso Robles. And whereas Lumina Alliance provides essential life-saving services for survivors, their children, and families throughout San Luis Obispo County, including Paso Robles. And whereas domestic violence can result in physical injury, psychological trauma, and even death. The devastating consequences of domestic violence can cross generations and can last a lifetime. And whereas the mitigation of certain groups in society, including undocumented individuals, transgender individuals, and those living with disabilities, increases their vulnerability to intimate partner violence. And whereas Lumina Alliance continues to provide a safe environment to those affected by domestic violence with a 24-hour crisis hotline, advocacy, therapy, transitional and emergency housing, provincial education, and with the help of dedicated volunteers and professionals. And whereas Lumina Alliance has seen a surge in crisis line calls by 33% this year, rising from 2,100 to over 2,800 calls. Housing placements also increased significantly, growing from 170 to 110 individuals saved and served, a 24% increase. Notably, nearly half of those housed were children. And whereas Lumina Alliance serves as a bright light during dark times for survivors of intimate partner violence, illuminating a path towards safety and healing. And whereas the City of Paso Robles supports the efforts of Lumina Alliance, how every segment of society can also work together to address domestic violence and how to help survivors connect with their services. Now therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of authority vested me as mayor and speaking on behalf of the entire City Council, I do hereby proclaim the month of October 2025 as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Would you like to say something?
Thank you, Mayor. You covered it all. They gave me some things to say, but every single one of them was what you said. So thank you. We really appreciate it. My name's Melanie Anderson. I've been involved with Lumina Alliance for about 14 years in one way or another. I'm on the board of directors, and it's a really important organization. It's the only organization in our county that supports survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. So we have our hands full, and with funding being uncertain these days, we really have our hands full. So we're doing a lot of fundraising and just making people aware that we exist. And Lumina Alliance is a great resource for anyone that needs any help, has any questions. So if you or someone you know is in crisis, just give us a call. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you for your service. We also have another proclamation, and if I could have Angelica Fortin, Community Service Director, and Maria Garcia, our former City Councilwoman and Vice President of Hispanic Business. Will you come on up? Yeah? Angelica? Yeah, Maria, watch out for that. Declaring September 15th through October 15th Hispanic Heritage Month. Whereas National Hispanic Heritage Month has been celebrated in the United States annually since 1988, when President Reagan expanded the week-long celebration, first established by President Johnson in 1968, into a 30-day period starting September 15th and ending October 15th. And whereas September 15th is significant because it is the anniversary of the independence of Latin American countries of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua, followed by Mexico on September 16th and Chile on September 18th. And whereas Hispanic residents represent 38% of the population, significantly contribute to our social fabric that makes the city of Paso Robles a vibrant and prosperous community for all. And whereas Hispanic Heritage Month is a time to recognize the invaluable and countless ways Hispanic residents contribute to our common goals and to making El Paso de Robles a better place to live, work, and play. Whereas whereas the Downtown Paso Robles Main Street Association and the Hispanic Business Association will host their second annual Dia de los Muertos celebration in the park, October 25th, providing the community with an opportunity to celebrate Hispanic culture and traditions. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that I, John Hammond, by virtue of authority vested in me as mayor, and speaking on behalf of the entire city council, do hereby proclaim 30-day period starting September 15th and ending October 15th as Hispanic Heritage Month, and recommend that all citizens of the city of Paso Robles join in recognizing the importance of this month. Thank you. You want to say something, Mayor? Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to invite Francisco Ramirez. He's our current president of the Hispanic Business Association, and we have Liz as our vice president. I just want to say thank you to the city of Paso Robles for allowing us to have our cultural events. We also did Cinco de Mayo, so I want to thank Frida. Thank you so much for helping me get all the paperwork put in for that. I want to also thank Downtown Association for partnering up with us and making this a second annual event. But, you know, it's not just about HBA. I'm here and we're here as volunteers to the organization receiving this award. But this is truly for all those organizations out there that help the Hispanic community. There's so many, like Lumina helps. The Slow Food Bank helps, First Five. We have Mujeres de Acción that is out there in the community. We have a Spanish magazine called Somos that is out there. So I know HBA is on the proclamation, but I just want to give a shout out to actually all the organizations that are out there that give back to the community. Thank you very much.
Next, we have up on presentations, Dietas Esperanza with Capital Project Report. Dietas.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the City Council. This is going to be a tag team report with several people on staff with the city. So I will start out with the public works projects that are in progress, in construction. So these are 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Creston Road, of course, is just about done. We're still waiting for the signal to get turned on the week of October 21st. And then after that, it should be finished. There is still some remaining paving and striping that we need to do from Trigo to Orchard. And then that will be finished. The pickleball court at Sherwood Park is coming along well. The picture on the left is a pad that is waiting for the prefab restroom. If you recall, that was the critical path to get the restroom fabricated. And so the completion of the pickleball court is contingent upon the arrival of the prefab restroom. I'm pleased to announce that there's not too much delay on the delivery, and so we should be receiving it fairly soon. And the first quarter opening of the pickleball court should be happening. The picture on the right is the parking lot. All the curbs have been installed and the light post. This week, the contractor will be placing pervious concrete on that parking lot that is in lieu of asphalt. That is part of the design for the pervious concrete is so that it would receive stormwater runoff instead of leaving the site. It's part of the low impact development that we're required to do when we increase the impervious surfaces. The Regional Water Board wants us to contain all the stormwater on site instead of leaving it. So our solution was to put pervious concrete on the parking lot instead of asphalt. So that should be happening this week. And so the Flamson project is just about done as well. This is, there are 6 push button pedestrian flash signals that is assisting with making crossing safe for the students. We're just about done. We need to install some signs, and striping is in progress. This one is a picture of striping on Spring Street, and then we need to do restriping on Oak Street, and then a little bit on 26th Street, and then that project will be completed. So now we need something to do, so we have some upcoming projects. Oh, sorry, I forgot about 12th Street. The 12th Street Railroad parking lot is in progress. We removed the old asphalt. The lights have, the light post bases have been installed. The retaining wall is complete. This week, we're starting to do the curb installation. And then after that would be the asphalt. And then we'll start installing the street lights and the landscaping. There, it has been quite a bit of a challenge working with PG&E. So it's kind of put us a delay a little bit on the project, but we were able to push them to finish last week, and then this week the contractor has mobilized to start the curbs and the pavement. So now we have some upcoming projects. This is the list. We have the Crestline and Fairview neighborhood repairs. You awarded that at your last meeting, so we're going through the contract documents award phase, and then we will begin that. I think we're just about done with the contract phase. I expect to have a pre-construction meeting in the next couple of weeks. The same with the West Side fiberized slurry. City Council awarded that project. We went through the contract document phase. We're about done with that as well, and so I expect to have a pre-construction meeting for that project in a couple of weeks as well. Same with the Riverside Capitol Hill pipeline project that was awarded as well. We went through the contract phase. We had our pre-construction meeting. We're just waiting for all the submittals to be approved because we have to have pipe delivery, valves, things of that nature, and then you'll see that coming along. The Creston Road phase two is just about done as well. Later on in your agenda, we are asking you to approve the services for a contract to provide construction management services that will allow us to continue with the design and arrive at a 100% bid-ready project, hoping to start it first quarter 2026. Just want to remind everybody of the numerous pipelines as illustrated in this exhibit, storm drains, water, sewer that will need to be constructed. And so because of that, just want to remind everybody that Rolling Hills will be closed during the construction of this roundabout. However, Creston Road will be open all the time, but it'll have different traffic control route as we finish each stage. So it will be challenging, and so we hope the community will work with us and be patient as we try to finish this project. That concludes the Public Works Capital Projects phase of this presentation. If you have any questions, if you don't have any questions, I'll sit down and turn it over to Dave LaCaro.
Okay, questions or views?
Actually, I have one. Sure. Can you tell me more about the pervious concrete? Oh. I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
Okay, so it's concrete that has little holes in them. And so that way when it rains, it, instead of leaving the site and going and being lost, it gets into the ground and it goes into the, and it actually helps with the groundwater and food.
So it's actually concrete, but with voids in it that lets the water come in.
You can see the parking lot at the train station, the parking lot that's next to the Pioneer baseball field, that's pervious concrete.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. David, welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. David LaCaro, Public Works Operations Manager. I am I'm pleased to say that after you folks had made action at the last City Council approving the five-year road repair plan, we're actually starting on our first small or minor road repair project. In fact, we just finished that up. So as part of your action last meeting that allocated $500,000 per year for small projects. That includes anything small from dips to brakes to anything that might happen within the roadway that our in-house staff can take care of. So, on September 29th, We started to do some road repairs. This took place on Clubhouse Drive, where there was a significant dip in the roadway, causing it for rough rides for some of the drivers. We chose this location because it's relatively small. We have some new members on our staff, and this is a great opportunity, avoiding some traffic, heavy traffic, that this is a great place to start and do some team building, really kind of get some hands-on experience with some of our staff and really some of the equipment as well.
David, we're able to do that with our forces up to a certain level.
That's correct, yeah. So $75,000 per project is the threshold. That's really in accordance with our public contracting code. So as long as we're not breaking that threshold, we're not out of compliance with that. So
got it.
These are smaller projects, just keep in mind. So this one, just for size-wise, it was 450 square feet, but it was quite a dip. I mean, anybody who drove down that would experience this and obviously either slow down or scratch the bottom of their car. So those minor inconveniences, but it's certainly something that we want to make sure that we're repairing. So you can see our guys out there really just putting some base on some of the carve-outs. We split the road so that we were able to make sure that folks were able to get in and out of their homes in that area. And so we got some good training on the backhoe, some of the other equipment that we have as well. This is the finished product, but again, the total cost of this project was calculated below that $75,000 threshold. So that lets us, our city's own staff, to actually be able to do that. So the way we calculated it is essentially being able to do about six small or minor repair road projects per year. And that's how we've calculated it. This one actually fell pretty low, so we might be able to fit seven. Who knows? We're going to give it a shot. So just to continue the story on this, we have identified 10 total locations, all minor repair, and Clubhouse now being completed. We're moving on to the next one. We're going to try to beat the rains as well. So that also plays a part in when we can do these projects. My goodness gracious, I blanked on the name. Black. Jeez, Louise. That is actually on the list, top number three. So we're going to be able to do that, hopefully before the rains start. But we'll see. If we start to see something in November, then we might have to push it out. But that's the goal. We're going to try to get there. Also on other news, we have our stormwater projects. One thing that I'd like to say is that we've been continuing to complete significant drainage repair projects. So far, our Public Works Stormwater Division has completed 4 out of 5 projects. Satellite drainage is one of these. This is located on the northeast portion of the airport property. This has been in significant damage for at least a decade, as long as I've been here, if not a little longer. The real problem with this here is that it threatens an adjacent private property, which used to be Lubrizol, but now it's Coast Southwest Surfactants. They do surfactants. As you can see in the left picture, you have some holding tanks that's processed wastewater. And so any significant undermining of that structure there could cause an environmental risk. Obviously, anything going into that drainage is going to be a problem. So we've been working over, maybe the last couple years with Regional Water Board, Army Corps, Fish and Wildlife, you name it, and we got all the necessary permits in place. At your last meeting, you allowed us to authorize a contract with Spurco. These guys have been cooking, and they started October 1st. And as you can see, they've already started to recontour the drainage. They're going to be putting in more soil over by the fence line so that we have a little bit more security there for the surfactant company. And here it is today. In fact, this was earlier this morning. So these guys are already contoured and compacted. We're pulling some compaction tests. Next step is base. We have a blanket going over that, and then significant about 16 to 18 inch rock that's going to line that drainage. So it's going to be a good deal. So we gave them 60 days, but these guys are moving so quick. I'm hoping by the end of the month, we're trying to beat the rains. So excited that this project is actually happening. So this is a good deal. Anyway, at this point, if you don't have any questions for me on these last two projects, I'll go ahead and pass it on to, I believe, Dante. Yes.
Any question for David?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Pro Tem Gregory.
Yes, Mr. LaCarl. Just a quick, simple question for you.
Yeah.
So when you do our road repairs in-house, you're taking a regular road crew who takes care of our roads off of what they're doing and do the repairs, then they go back to what they're doing, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, good.
We try to schedule it so that we can get these. That project right there was a two-day project.
Yeah.
So we're also kind of looking at the area and the size of the project versus all the other needs that we have to get done as well. There's quite a list of things to do.
Very good. Thank you.
David, we don't really have a dedicated street repair crew, do we? Or do we have staff that just double up, put another hat on, that do the same thing? Or
no, our dedicated street staff, yeah, they do everything from sidewalks, signs, road repairs, potholes. That's our dedicated street crew. And so this is just fortunate for us with the passing of I-24 that we're able to actually start to do some real road projects.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exciting to see these guys hands-on doing some paving work.
Well, I'd like to recommend that when you run out of that $500,000, come ask for some more, because we can find it someplace. I mean, that's important. I mean, the streets are where most the Roblands feel and work and use the most. I mean, so we want to take care of that as quick as we can when we have the ability to do it.
I appreciate that, sir. Absolutely. We're looking into it. The list gets longer.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, David.
Actually, I have a question about the drainage.
Yes.
That's quite a project.
Yes.
Congratulations. Looks like it's really important. Does the regional board do ongoing inspections during construction or
they have the right to. They don't. They'll schedule it on random. Because we don't have any rain forecasted, there's little erosion control. Most of what we're doing is dust suppression, so there is a water tanker on site to deal with that. So there's very little runoff or any erosion control at this point. But we have an approved erosion control plan to move forward just in case we get into that time of season.
Quick question, David. That cut on that first picture on the left there, is that going to be filled in with boulders, I mean heavier stone?
Yeah, my understanding is actually we're going to be putting in a Class 2 base, so we're going to kind of edge that out a little bit.
Roll it up, yeah.
Right? That's and then we have basically this, it's called Mirify. It's like kind of a plastic
barrier. Yeah.
Barrier that, but it's also porous, so water can't soak through, and then on top of that, some rock. So this is going to be a tank.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, welcome.
Good evening, City Council. Dante Pecanino, Senior Development Review Engineer. We wanted to give you guys a quick update on Scott Street. We got a sewer upgrade project that is coming through, kind of started at the edge of the golf course, and it's moving its way east towards the Venado project that's happening on the east side of town, big tract. So in the next coming weeks, we're going to have a closure of Scott Street for safety reasons. We don't want any traffic backing up onto Creston Road. The pipeline itself is in the middle of a travel lane, so we'd have to do one-way flagging, and it could stack up vehicles. So the detour that we're going to provide folks is San Ynez to Via Ramona, and that's phase one of that. We were scheduled to start a week from now on October 14th, but the contractor just informed us this morning they're working through the parking lot. In Sherwood, they just crossed Creston, and they hit an unknown utility, so we're tracking that down, hopefully being able to move forward soon, but that date is going to push a little bit, and we'll update everyone accordingly. Phase two will be the segment from the Veterans Senior Center east towards, that's labeled wrong, but that should be Commerce Way instead of Creston Road on the right. So this will be one-way flagging. So there will be some delays as they work through here. We've been working heavily with the contractor to allow access to the Veterans and Senior Center. One driveway will be open at all times, so either the left or the right. They'll coordinate that directly with the Veterans Center. And that'll be on the heels of phase one. So those dates are estimated, but we'll keep everyone updated as things come up. So we had, unless you had any questions.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Any questions?
Frida, I'll pass it off to Frida next.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Frida?
Can you believe it? We're talking about the holidays.
Yeah, I saw them out there.
Yeah, they're out there. So if you've been to the park this week, you know we're starting to install our holiday lights. This is only phase one of the installation, some of the bigger trees. If you're around, just a little hint for Augie and family, if you're around on tomorrow or Thursday night, we're going to be doing some testing of what we've installed. But you'll expect to see some new trees lit, additional photo opportunities, and it should be just as spectacular as it generally is. I'd like to introduce a new sponsorship program for the lights and our New Year's Eve concert and bonfire, which is also happening again this year. We launched, at residents' request, a sponsor program last year. We're expanding that this year. Again, any amount is welcome. There's no minimum, and everybody gets some sort of recognition depending on how much they contribute. But it is a great time. The lights are fantastic. And the event, if you haven't been, which I know all of you have, is a really fun way to end the year. So just want to make everyone aware to go to prcity.com/PasoLights and learn about our new sponsorship program for the lights and New Year's Eve.
Very good.
That's
it. All right. Any questions?
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you. That was it for capital projects. We have next a vegetation management update.
Can I make a comment?
Sure, Dale. Go ahead.
Dale Augustin, I'm glad that they're doing detours for the senior center. That senior center has a lot of activity at it, the veterans some, but make sure it's clearly marked, because there's already people at the senior center saying, how are we going to get to our senior center? So I hope that's good. My other question was, maybe I missed it, but when they're doing the cement instead of the asphalt for the pickleball, was there a change order required? And if so, how much did it cost?
Okay. Rita, that was, I think, planned and designed to be pervious concrete, wasn't it?
The pervious concrete is in the parking lot. It's not in the for the courts. The
right.
courts are still asphalt.
Right. Yeah, but the pervious is for drainage, stormwater management.
Right, and
yeah.
it was always planned that way.
Got it. Right. Thank you. All right, moving on then to Battalion Chief Jay Inns. You have our vegetation management update. Welcome, Jay.
All right. Good evening, Mayor Hammond, members of council, Battalion Chief Jay Inns. I'm here to provide you a progress update, highlight key successes, and outline future direction for the project. So why did the project get initiated? Well, the Salinas River corridor had become heavily overgrown with decadent, dense vegetation, making it prone to intense fire behavior. Numerous fires had ignited in the riverbed, threatening neighborhoods, businesses, infrastructure, and firefighter safety. And you could see, you know, the conditions that were out there. In 2019, the city declared a local emergency after multiple fire starts burned over 15 acres in the river. These incidents highlighted an urgent need to be proactive and manage instead of just being reactive. Council and the city leadership prioritized vegetation management and public safety initiative. The project was launched with council support and community backing. So the initial start on the project was done primarily with masticators, also known as heavy equipment, along the east side of the river corridor. Is where it had the most potential to impact the community. And additionally, there were five locations where it stretched from the east to the west side, at Niblick Bridge, 13th Street, Highway 46, and the two pipelines in the north and south end of town. This was primarily to protect critical infrastructure in the city. And these breaks in the spring of 2020 were not able to be managed for annual grasses that come up because there was no permit in place and no approval from regulatory agencies. Unfortunately, that contributed to the river fire in 2020 in July. It's transitioning out of the riverbed and into nearby community, destroyed two homes, numerous outbuildings, and caused significant evacuations. So following that fire, there was significant pressure and support for the city to do more. Following that, it led to the expansion of the emergency fire breaks to the current configuration. So this work, and you can see them there, it relied on small track masticators and hand crews with chainsaws and track shifters to clear the brush and lift up the canopy of the trees. Doing this limits the potential for fire spread. At the same time, the city piloted a goat grazing project on 15 acres in the Salinas River, and this proved to be very successful, and it demonstrated grazing as an effective, cost-efficient tool for managing vegetation. Building off of this program, targeted grazing has become the primary method for our annual maintenance of the fire breaks, and grazing accounts for 84 to 85 acres of what you see on our breaks, and the other 32 acres are completed with mechanized equipment, mostly weed whipping and mowing. And so you can see the areas in yellow are what got grazed this past year, and the purple is the mechanized equipment. So the treatment prioritizes high-risk ignition zones to maximize fire mitigation protection. So none of this work is possible without regulatory approval and permitting. And so it was a two-year process to obtain a five-year permit from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Not an easy process. Before they would give us that approval, they required us to get a lake and stream bed altercation agreement with California Fish and Wildlife. Also not an easy process, which is why a lot of times these type of projects don't make it to the finish line. Both of those agencies required CEQA review and completion, which we were able to get done with Al House and Mead, third-party biologists. All of this achieved regulatory clarity for managing the riverbed, and first of its kind, set a precedent for vegetation management in a riparian area, and has now become a template across the state for other communities. Something we're pretty proud of. So you might ask, this seems like a lot of work and effort, so what are the benefits? Well, you can see from the bar graph there, in 2020, we had 129 fires in the riverbed, and we burned 35 acres. Yeah, last year, in 2024, 37 fires, 1.2 acres burned. Trending in the right direction. So the work is worth it. And so what does that mean for the community? Well, it reduces community risk. And by reducing ignition spread or fires and spread potential, we lower the probability of fires escaping the riverbed. It increases firefighter safety by limiting their exposure to these fires and conditions down in the riverbed, and gives them a good area to engage fire. And then it improves service. By reducing fires and keeping them small, we've increased resource availability to respond to the community's additional emergencies. We avoid high suppression costs. Prevention costs are far lower than suppression costs and recovery, as evident from the 2020 river fire. And then lastly, it strengthens confidence. So it demonstrates proactive leadership that builds residents' trust and confidence. So none of this would be possible for us as a city to do it alone. We rely on partnerships and collaboration, and then, of course, the funding that goes along with it. And so I mentioned Al House and Mead. They're a third-party biologist. They've been with us and this program from the beginning. Lindy and her team are extreme supporters of the project and have been great advocates for us. And then we have the Fire Safe Council, San Luis County Fire Safe Council, has been a great partner. The relationships that we've built with them have allowed us to secure grant funding for the majority of this work and help us to avoid having to dip into the general fund. And then operational support comes from the Go Girls. They're a local business, and Beth and her team, this past year was the fifth year for Grace, and it's not an easy project. It's one of a kind for her to graze in a riverbed, and every year they're looking for ways to improve. And so in 2021, it took 72 days to graze the entirety of Firebrigs. Last year, she did it in 42 days, which is important because we can't start grazing until May, and we want to get it done before fire season kicks up. So she's doing a great job. When I talk about funding, I mentioned Fire Safe Council. You know, we approximately receive $180,000 a year for the grazing and the crew work to be done in the Salinas River. And they've been a great partner. And then additionally, through CAL FIRE, we received $430,000 to purchase equipment for treatment within the city. And so we put most of that into service this past year. One of the main pieces of equipment was a remote track chipper, and it's been being utilized to work in our open spaces within the city. It's been great. So future direction for the project. I mentioned is a five-year permit from the Water Board. That expires in December this year. We're currently working on extending that for another 5 years, and that would be the recommendation and the route to take. Number two, expand strategic fire breaks with San Luis County, similar to what we did in Fern Canyon, and so we'll look for opportunities and where there's potential, and collaborate with them. Number three, pursue ongoing grant funding and state allocations. We're going to continue to work with Fire Safe Council to receive this funding and look for other opportunities for that funding. And then fourth, just maintain transparency with council and the public. Public's a huge supporter of this project, and we want to keep that support. This concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Tim Gregory?
Yeah, thank you for your report. I have a question. It's kind of a numbers question, but from the Fire Safe Council, we get other funding for other projects like taking the brush out of Fern Canyon and stuff like that.
Right.
How much money have we gotten from the Fire Safe Council? That's my question.
In total?
Yeah.
My guess would be 800 to a million, okay. The approximate guess.
And do we have to compete with other entities for that?
We do. There's all the communities in the county are looking to utilize that funding. And fortunately, because the relationships we've created there and the fact that the project's ready to go. Anytime Dan Turner from Fire Safe Council calls me and asks, do you have something, crews available? I usually always have something, or we have some place to put them to work at the city.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know they just added the chipping over on the west end too, which is something I asked for many years ago, and they finally got it done. So
But Chief Patty is working on that, doing a great job.
Yeah, very good, Paul.
I've got a little thing. Are
you? I had one more question. Yeah, hang on. With regard to acre square footage, so to speak, cost effective versus goats versus manpower to clear, mechanized versus goats. Do you have a rough estimate of what cost per acre for the each?
For the grazing, it's about, there's some additional costs that go on top of it, but it's about 700
an acre.
An acre.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so the crew that we get through the Fire Safe Council,
right,
they're 12,000 to 13,000 a day.
Yeah. How many acres can they do in a day?
It depends on the vegetation that they're working in.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of difference there, too.
Yeah.
Definitely. How many goats do they have? And I mean, she's...
This year, we had, at the peak, 1,400 goats.
Wow. That's all that.
And they were split into two herds, grazing both sides of the riverbed simultaneous. And that's how we've been able to shorten the time frame.
Great. Councilmember Beal.
Yeah, great presentation. And what I love about this is it's a super example of these partnerships, because you have expertise that Lindy doesn't, that the Goat Girl doesn't. Everybody brings their strengths and capacity to this project to give kind of a holistic solution to this very, very serious problem. So I've had the opportunity to work with Lindy over the years, and I'm very proud that this is a model for other people to look at, even in terms of how you're navigating the permitting and dealing with all the different agencies, which I'm sure was amazing. But has Lindy written it up, or has the chief written it up? Is this written up in different places?
Yeah, it's known for sure. And like I said, Lindy is always advocating and sharing our successes whenever she's, you know, getting calls to do work for other communities. I know that San Luis has benefited from this program or this permit and long-term plan.
Yeah, because I know she's a scientist, and I just wasn't sure if she'd written it up in some other, you know, non-local publications or...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, I'll give her a call. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Great job.
Yeah, thank you.
Jay, one last question. I know that, you know, all the cities that have rivers running through them, which is most all of us, you know, have that same problem with Regional Water Quality Board. I mean, they knew our situation. I think last time we had almost declared an emergency to get in there and do it without their approval. We're not doing that this way. We're going through the channels again.
Yeah, we declared an emergency because there was no approved plan.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that you can do under a declared emergency, but you can't just keep declaring an emergency to do the same thing over and over. So we were required to get the permits.
Yeah. Yeah, at least we keep it running. That's good.
Yeah.
So, okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
All right, we'll move on then to M on the agenda. It was general public comments.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
About that. Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. Am I to understand correctly that the fires that you presented were caused by the homeless? And if that is the case, is there a possibility of getting the homeless in one of these programs to start clearing the vegetation themselves, or maybe even operate the goats? These are just ideas. And if these are all, are these all man-made fires is my biggest question. So if I'm understanding the presentation correctly, you guys are clearing vegetation in the riverbed particularly to prevent homeless fires?
Yeah,
Thank you. That's
exactly it. That was, I think, Jay, real quick, the majority of the calls we had in those years was started by people. Chief?
We can't directly relate them to the homeless because we don't have video cameras down there.
Humans,
but we know they are human caused.
Human caused, that's what I meant. Right. Thank you. All right, let's move on then to general public comments. This is the time that the public may address the City Council on items within its purview but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Council or staff may briefly respond to statements or questions posed by the public. Please fill out a speaker card and give it to our city clerk upon speaking. We will have 3 minutes to speak. Those wishing to speak on any item as scheduled for tonight's agenda will be given the opportunity to speak when the item is being considered. So we'll start off with Dale.
Dale Augustin. At the last council meeting, I left a little early, but I listened to the entire council's comments on my way home on the radio. And as is the tradition, Mayor Hammond was the last person to speak. And when I was listening to what you had to say, Mayor, I was terribly disappointed in you. To make disparaging remarks about a fellow councilman is uncalled for. And I just couldn't believe that you would do that as a fellow Rotarian. I'm just disappointed in you.
Okay, thank you. Paula.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. Before the meeting started, since I've discovered Creston has been paved, if PRPD wants to find me, I am now accidentally speeding down that road. It is so rare in California that we get to drive down a road that's freshly paved. And so I had the pleasure of singing at the Long Branch Saloon the other night, and whoo, there I went. So don't look for me. It's a beautiful thing. The other thing is the bike lanes on Spring Street look absolutely great. I think it's amazing. Spring Street, that was my wish. I think it was 3 years ago when I interviewed for District 1, is that Spring Street grow up with the rest of the city. I would rather see Modelo from Spring Street down, not the wine stuff that you're approving tonight, but we can deal with it. I have a question for Angelica. I go to the skate park very often, and I'm curious of what happened to the playground that was there. The Mercy Air, I sent you guys an email, and I've been working that on. I'm working on that with Jimmy Panetta's office. I got a phone call from Washington, D.C., which actually surprised me because it's really rare when D.C. calls you. And Jimmy Panetta's office is furiously working on it. They want to bring back a full-service helicopter, which is search and rescue, everything. And again, as I said in the email, he is a big advocate for veterans, so I can see why he would choose something like that. He indicated that it wouldn't be within the calendar year, but it would be something that they put at the forefront. So the city, Chief Stornetta, anybody's welcome to work with them directly. And I'm very happy to continue working on it. My next question is about the homeless director. I haven't seen one yet. Echo is now closed to everyday beds. I remember in the presentation there was supposed to be a tent shelter bed or warming shelter or cooling center that went along with closing that. And I'm curious to what happened to that. And back to the homeless, we were very anxious and excited about Grants Pass. Yet we're still having to put out fires and rescue every winter. So I hope that that 10-bed shelter that you guys proposed that night comes quickly before the rain. I'm wondering if I can get an answer on that. I went to the open house. That was a lot of fun. I've stuck Fire Station 3. And it was beautiful to see the kids there. It just takes a kid one day to sit in that fire engine to become your next chief. And it was just beautiful. So I just wanted to ask those questions. And I also drove down to Tuscadero, and I asked Ditas and everybody in this planning department, please don't ever put parking lots in the median like Pismo and Tuscadero. Those are just asking for accidents when people back out. But that's all my information for today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Welcome.
Hello, thank you. My name's Lisa Segler. I have a Half Moon Herbary. It's a small microgreens and perennial herbs business farm in East 46. I get super nervous. Today I'm speaking as a small farmer who loves this land and wants to contribute to our local farm system. My farm is only 2 acres, zoned agriculture. It's a simple operation built on regenerative agriculture. No chemicals, no tilling, just soil, sunlight, and hard work. I've worked with many farms in the area and many restaurants and restaurateurs, and I'm excited to finally work for myself to build my dream.